Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him and turn to the hearts of parents to their child and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Oh dear, I lost my anointing oil. You never know when someone's going to need that. Welcome to worship this morning on this second Sunday of Advent. I am so glad that you are here as we join together in this season of waiting. We remember that the one that we wait for at Christmas time is the one that we are waiting for every day to come and to fulfill the promises of God to restore the wholeness of this world and to set things right again. We are a people of waiting, and we remember that in this time of Advent. This Advent season, we are playing a little bit with the hit show Stranger Things, as you saw on the cover of your bulletin. This show where this small town in Indiana gets this front row seat as they realize that there is another world that exists right alongside their regular old ordinary world. And it's called the Upside Down. And that world begins to sort of press in on their world, causing a complete disruption of their lives. It turns out that all the same things were true in first century Judea. Now what we would think of as modern day Israel or Palestine, in a place where at that time one after another people were being visited by these creatures that we call angels. We think of them as, fluffy and feathery, and you may have even found feathers in your pew this morning as a sign, a reminder that that perhaps they are among us, creatures who, if you can think of it this way, they crossed the boundary from a parallel dimension called the kingdom of God to visit these ordinary people in the first century to tell them what God was up to and to tell them that they were going to be involved. And so we are looking this Advent at these angel encounters, and this week, today, we pick up with Zechariah, the priest, the clergyman. If you don't know the story, we didn't read all the full story, but Zechariah, we heard the pronouncement that the angel made to him. Zechariah will not believe it, and because he doesn't believe it, the angel will then take away his voice for the rest of his wife Elizabeth's pregnancy. I kind of love that it's a clergy person, a preacher, if you will, whose voice gets taken away when he is silenced by the angel. As you can hear, I myself have gotten a taste of that this week. I was sick for most of the week. Don't worry, I have been cleared several days ago by the doctor. I am not contagious, but he said it'll probably be another week or so before my voice returns to normal. And I thought, well, that's better than Zechariah got, so I guess I'll take it. And no problem. The only things that haven't really recovered are my voice and my brain, so preaching seems like a great idea right now. But I do have a little hint of solidarity with Zechariah today. Here's what we find out when we meet Zechariah. He is a priest. He's married to Elizabeth. Both of them are righteous before God. They are barren. They have not been able to have a child. And they are, in the gentlest words, getting on in years. I love that. Today is the day of Zechariah's turn in the temple. His section of priests is on duty, and he is the one chosen just by lot, by chance, to enter into the holy space, that separate, holy room. They call it the sanctuary. They don't mean this kind of sanctuary. They mean a separate room to make an incense offering, to say the prayers and to light the incense, while everyone else, like us, is gathered outside and praying. So it would be as if all of you stayed here, and my job or Kathy's job was to go behind here to a separate room to do this act of worship on all of our behalf, but in secret. Now, you know, in scary movies and shows, you have to know the signals, when something is coming, right? Having one person break away from the group and go out on their own, all by themselves, this is a moment when you want your guard to be up, right? Because something is bound to happen when Zechariah is alone in the temple sanctuary. That's when the creepy music starts to play, right? In fact, when you're watching scary movies or shows, one thing that you learn is always to expect the unexpected, isn't it? Always be ready for the jump scare. You learn to expect that there are things present, people present, even if you cannot see them, those things are bound to emerge without warning. I actually don't watch scary movies that much. I usually don't like them. So when I do, I am unashamed to tell you that I spend about half the show like this. Just one eye I let peek through. Or do you do this? I ease the tension and the suspense by doing something really mundane. My usual choice is folding laundry. I find that having something that sort of reminds my nervous system that I am still in this regular old world. I am not currently in the upside down. See, how could I? Look at all these socks, right? So something, wash the dishes, do fold laundry, anything. Because here's the thing. I may have watched 35 episodes of this show, and I may have endured 249 Demogorgon attacks, and I may have watched 28 characters that I thought were good turn out to be evil, and I may have come through no fewer than 14 plot twists, but I will still jump in surprise, and I will still gasp in shock, and my jaw will still gape open in disbelief at the next turn and the next twist and the next jump. Even someone experienced can still be surprised. Honestly, I find that the same thing is true as a pastor. Now, more often than not, as a pastor, it's a joyful excitement rather than abject terror that surprises me in my work, but I still find it amazing. After all these years, I have seen enough to know that I should expect the unexpected from God. I've heard enough God stories from all of you to know I should hold space for the impossible. And still it never fails. I will be surprised. Perhaps all of this is not so different from Zechariah. Zechariah showed up at the temple that morning, ready for the ordinary. Ready for the mundane. He is an experienced priest. He knows what to expect when he enters the sanctuary, when he lights the incense. In fact, his experience makes him comfortable. It makes him less likely to have his guard up, doesn't it? Maybe he was going through his checklist, humming the tune of a psalm, going about his way, saying his usual prayers. And then, boom, this angel appears. A messenger from God's world. A creature whose presence strikes fear, even as he says, don't be afraid. That's the first surprise, is simply the appearance of the angel. That's the jump scare, isn't it? Zechariah didn't know to expect. But there is a deeper surprise coming. You see, it seems that Zechariah is is resigned to the mundane in life more broadly as well. It's not just this one day or this one moment. Zechariah thought he knew what to expect from life. After all, he's old. He's lived it. As far as he was concerned, life happened basically in the order that a dear bishop that I know of describes. This is sort of what we expect from life. You're born, you grow up, you go on some diets, and you die. That's great. Zechariah thought he knew what to expect, how life would go, how life had gone so far. So when the angel reports this shocking news that he will have a son, that he will have a son at all, much less a son who will play a key role in preparing people for God's coming, Zechariah could not believe it. Zechariah had lost sight of the truth that when God is involved, you should always expect the unexpected. Barbara Brown Taylor, the great preacher, points out that the Zechariah's problem wasn't so much doubt or disbelief. It was a failure of imagination. It was a habit of hopelessness. John Buchanan says that Zechariah is the one who is truly barren because he cannot imagine a different future. And perhaps in that way, he's not so different from us. Buchanan says, he's not so different from those of us who fall into despair because we cannot imagine or we have given up on a world different from the one that we confront every day in the newspaper. Is that you? Have you given up on the possibility of a different world? So friends, this Advent, as we remember Zechariah and his jump scare of that day and the plot twist of his life, perhaps we too should be watching a little differently. I'm not saying that we should go through life like this, but at the very least, perhaps we should be a little closer to the edge of our seat. Amen? Amen. Amen.